This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
A take-home lesson from this is that, they were very, very unprofessional.
The State Assembly did their job. Democrats in the Assembly stood up, made their argument.
Yeah, I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Going on onto the streets to protest, say that your people have shot him.
Well, I mean, it was just, I think it was something to do with
that's very tough to swallow.
Stupid.
Yeah, Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhenryshow.com, where we've been rolling out the new look of our video cast, a new multi-camera special effects look. And a lot more to be revealed on that side, and as well, of course, all the great standards you get from our website, all of the archives, our podcasts, daily podcasts of the show, and of course, video on demand. All of the shows for a 5-day video on demand archive, and our news feed, and our comments section of the news feed, and of course, the guaranteed email response you get from me, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, it's a form letter.
You know what? That's the second time you've mentioned that.
Yeah, but it is.
All right, so it's a form letter. I mean, you know what? It had to be this time because we were so swamped, and because I take care of my own mail, and you guys don't, and I won't have you take care of it.
Yeah, what's the point of you doing it, though? This all is going to be is a form letter.
Well, if that's what it is, that's what it is. You know, I got to stay on top of it, so I'll stay on top of it.
That's what she said.
Isn't that funny?
That's old, man.
Talk about old. Charlie Sheen escalates rants in interviews. His publicist has quit. I was trying to think, when's the last time we've seen a guy lose it in public like this? I mean, when's the last time Britney Spears, you know, I don't know what this cat sounds like he's bipolar manic, you know.
What's that mean?
They used to call it manic depressive. Manic people are people that go into these states of mania where they have these delusions of grandeur. A lot of them spend a lot of money. They talk a lot. They stay awake for days at a time. They're racing through the streets in their cars. We've probably run into more than a few of them in casinos in Las Vegas. I bet you that place is a magnet for cats like that.
Man, I think Vegas got all kinds of sick people in it.
No kidding. Charlie Sheen has escalated his rants in interviews. His publicist has quit. His publicist is a Jewish chap by the name of Mr. Stan Rosenfield. He quit. He can't take it. He can't listen to this garbage. And what did Sheen do? Called him up of the P word.
Yeah, called him.
Shut up.
Can't see it, man. How come you can't see that, even if it just means, you know, gutless?
Because it could mean the other thing, and the next thing you know, we got people screaming at us. So actor Charlie Sheen escalated his recent rants against his former Two and a Half Men employers, demanding a pay raise and threatening a lawsuit in several TV interviews that caused his spokesman to quit. Sheen, whose erratic behavior has put the future of his top-rated TV comedy in jeopardy, boasted on Monday morning news shows about his partying lifestyle and said he was tired of pretending he's not a total frigging rock star from Mars. Now, understand something. Charlie Sheen is in a hit TV show, but he's not the first guy that's been on a hit TV show. He's on a hit comedy. He's not the first. He's on a show that is number one, but he's not the first. Friends, Jerry Seinfeld, Kelsey Grammer. I mean, all of these people were total freaking rock stars from Mars. Although, Charlie Sheen does have a film career, a more substantial film career, perhaps, than the others. However, Mr. Sheen, sir, I don't think of one movie that you've been in that I went to see it because of you. I don't think anybody's gone to see a movie because you're in it. If you think about the two best movies you were in, Platoon and Wall Street, you didn't make those movies. You weren't even close to being the guy that was the central, exciting component of those films. If you talk about Platoon, it was Willem Dafoe and Tom Berenger. If you talk about Wall Street, it was Michael Douglas. Not you. You were like this irritating, boring add-on that I had to get through.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget. He bugged me, man, in those movies. Like, oh, yeah, here comes a scene with that jackass in it. Hours later, his longtime L.A. publicist, Charlie Sheen, we're still talking about here, quit working for the actor.
I thought you were talking about Michael Douglas.
Yeah, that's right. Quit the actor, saying he could no longer do his job. I worked with Charlie Sheen for a long time. I care about him very much. However, this time I'm unable to work effectively as his publicist and have resigned respectfully, Stan Rosenfield said in a statement. Sheen responded by calling him the P word. The Two and a Half Men star said he's not allowed to quit, so you're fired. He's not allowed to quit, so you're fired. That's great. So let's listen to some of this train wreck that is Charlie Sheen these days. In an interview with ABC News' Andrea Canning, Charlie Sheen says he is his own drug.
Yeah, I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen. It's not available because if you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt off and your children will weep over your exploded body. Too much. So it's just I woke up and decided, you know, I've been kicked around, I've been criticized, I've been like the aw shucks guy with like this bitch in rock star life, and I'm just finally gonna completely embrace it, wrap both arms around it, and love it violently, and defend it violently through violent hatred.
Well, Charlie, when you finally wake up from your mania, it ain't gonna work. You saying, like so many other people, oh, I was just kidding.
Yeah, he's probably going to say a satire. Yeah, that's what they'll say.
No, it ain't satire, Charlie. We're way ahead of you on that. When you finally wake up and you go, oh, it was just satire. Oh, no. Sheen tells Canning that he's not full of hate or anger, that he's certainly not bipolar. He's just passionate.
Passion.
Okay,
passion.
Your passion, yes, is coming off as erratic,
right,
to people.
Right, well, you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard, yeah, because it fires in a way that is, I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
What Some are saying that you're bipolar.
Wow, what does that mean?
I guess that, you know, you're on two ends of the spectrum.
Wow, and then what? What's the cure? Medicine?
Yeah.
Make me like them?
Yes.
Not going to happen. I'm by winning. I went here and I went there. Now what? If I'm bipolar, aren't there moments where a guy like crashes in the corner like, oh my God, it's all my mom's fault? Shut up. Shut up. Stop. Move forward.
God, I'd kick his ass. If that was me, oh. Anyway, Sheen says he'll sue CBS and the producers of Two and a Half Men for refusing to pay him for the rest of the season.
They're in breach. They're in radical breach. And sorry, guys, you screwed up.
Are you going to sue?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you? I don't have a job. I got a whole family to support and love. And people beyond myself, people a lot more important than me, are relying on that money to fuel the magic.
What are you going to sue for?
Tons. They're going to actually put it on a scale and be like, a little more. Ah, add some gold. Bingo. I'm here to collect, you know. And they're going to lose. They're going to lose in a courtroom. So I would recommend that they do an out-of-court settlement and fix this whole thing and pay the crew and get season 9 back on board.
Sheen says he's not anti-Semitic, even though he referred to creator Chuck Lorre as Chaim Levine.
Really upset about how something was interpreted that I feel terrible about. So I think we should just clear the air on that. You know, they've been like suddenly labeling me an anti-Semite. It's like people that know me, that there's nothing about that in my history anywhere.
Right. You chose to call him Chaim Levine. You took the Hebrew version, which I think people were wondering, why would he do that?
I would say, I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't know you were so sensitive. Sorry if I offended you. I just thought, you know, after you wailing on me for 8 years that I could, like, take a few shots back. I didn't know you were going to take your little ball and go home and punish everybody in the process.
Canning asked Sheen when the last time he used drugs was.
I use a blender. I use a vacuum cleaner. I use, household items, disguise. I'm not here trying to embarrass you or ruin your jobs or ruin the show.
Do they feel you've let them down?
I don't know. I'd be speaking for them, but it would have been nice if there was some measure of support from anybody. Anybody at this point. That's all right, man. Every great movement begins with one man, and I guess that's me.
Well, I mean, if the guy's kidding, it's great. If he's kidding, he's carried it a long way. If he's not, which I suspect he ain't, and he's like, you know, metal. But here's the thing. There's nothing you can do other than kick his ass.
I was going to say, man, what else? How are you going to talk to the guy?
You can't talk to him. You got to just kick his ass.
What do you mean?
I mean, the guy just blah, 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 and then just boom, just a shot, and just put him down. You're not going to talk to him, because everything that comes out of his mouth is this same silly stream of junk, just this same silly, it's a caricature, it's a, let me tell you about a guy like me. I mean, did you hear this cat's voice? That's why I have a hard time sometimes thinking some of these people are serious. This guy is now straight into the realm of the Fred Phelps Church.
Well, I mean, he don't... What do you mean?
I mean, in other words, he's so weird, you think he's got to be joking. Right? Remember when I thought that the Fred Phelps Church was kidding?
Yeah. They're not.
No, they're not. They're not. I thought those people were so extreme and so out of it that they had to be joking, and they're not joking. And Sheen ain't joking.
I mean, just to be me, you know, I mean, it takes a lot, you know. I mean, I'm doing drugs that...
He's talking like I used to hear people talk 40 years ago. He's acting like your most extreme and whack friend used to act. You remember the guy that wound up getting killed in the automobile accident? That friend. You remember the guy that died in an alcoholic coma in jail? That friend. That's the way he sounds to me. He sounds to me like that friend that's tapping on your window at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that would be Charlie Sheen if he didn't have the bread that he has, you know. But this cat is doing this TV show, and it's a very successful show, and he has been keeping it under wraps, and he's been keeping it together, and he has been watching his P's and Q's, and now he doesn't want to do that anymore.
So he don't want to be rich?
Yeah, he doesn't want to be rich. He doesn't want to be employed. He doesn't want to stay out of jail. He doesn't want to stay free of STDs. He doesn't want to stay friends with anybody. He doesn't even really want to be in the film or television business anymore. He wants to be homeless, disheveled, drug addicted and drug addled. He wants to look like one of those faces of meth that you see there on the Channel 5 website. He wants to be a ward of the courts. I mean, that's what this guy wants to be. That's not what he consciously wants to be, but that's where he's headed.
Well, how do you figure that?
What do you mean, how do I figure that, bud? Listen to the guy.
You know, he don't want to have to answer to nobody.
He doesn't want to have to answer to anybody. He doesn't want to have... He says, I'm tired of being... what he calls under wraps. All right, so what's the over wraps, man? That means that you're not wrapped too tight is what that means. That means you want to do drugs, you want to have hookers, you want to spend money, you don't want to have anybody telling you anything. Even to the extent where I just heard him say about his co-stars, the people that are with him on his TV show, boy, they haven't even, look at me, I'm out here doing this for you guys. I'm out here doing this for you guys. There might have been a long-running feud with the showrunner, this man, Mr. Lorre. There might have been a bunch of actors getting together after the taping. There might have been a lot of actors getting together after shows and saying, oh, we really hate these people, you know. But to the point where you are public and talking away like Sheen is, I don't know. All right, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. So that's Sheen. We can talk some more about him. We also have the Academy Awards, which... they weren't too good. I mean, the movies were good and the awards were good, but the Academy Awards show itself kind of blew, and it was, in terms of ratings, it wasn't a great night, but we'll try to keep it on the positive, sort of. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Patriot Radio, real radio for patriots by patriots. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and still lots more to come in our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. On the line with me from the Western States Homeowners Association is Bobby Dooley. I know that, Bobby, you've been working on the publishing of a children's book, and there is a little bit of the story here.
Yeah.
That you wanted to get out in front of?
Exactly, Phil. We do have... we've got a date, I think. Steve, if you got off the phone with him?
Yeah, they said probably on the 12th.
March 12th is the date for the interviews we're going to be doing. We're going to do some media for Mommy and Daddy, What Happens When You Go to Sleep, which is a book that Steve and I both collaborated on. It was my idea to write a children's book that for the very first time, Phil, would make sense to a child, I think, when we talk about how babies are made and how Mommy and Daddy relate to each other, and so forth. The most innocent of sex education for children from 8 and under.
Okay, 8 and under is the target.
That is the target readership, and of course, when you're talking about children's books, you are talking about targeting the mothers. So these are women in their mid to late 20s to early 30s, and even older. A lot of women who are having children a little bit later on. So we are going to begin the press on March 12th. The book is out now in... I think, where is it, Steve?
Barnes & Noble's got it.
Well, what was the story that you wanted to get out in front of?
The book, some of the issues of the book, I think there was a printing, and it's in Barnes & Noble. The book, I believe, has references to, there's two words, I think, that were used, and we're very, very sorry, and there was a photograph as well. So we're doing what we can to take care of that, but
when you say there were a couple of words,
well, two words again, this is a book for children, and so we are trying to take care of the copies that the words got into.
What were they?
I'm sorry,
what were the words?
The words were one of them was lube and anal. And there was a photograph, I think.
A lady in had a girdle.
I'll do it. Had a girdle, and she was in bondage.
This is in a children's book?
It really, things got so absolutely confused. I don't know what happened.
So this is in a children's book?
Yes.
And in what context?
I don't know if it's general. All we know is anal and loop.
The book is really a very, very good book, and that's why I wanted to mention, if you buy the book, and I very much do recommend that you buy this book for your 8-year-old or younger, it is a beautiful discussion for children on how Mommy and Daddy relate to each other when you go to sleep, meaning the children.
And all right, so it's a book about, it's not a, you wouldn't call it a sex education book?
It's a very appropriate, very, very age-appropriate book.
But not with the words anal and lube.
No, that got into the first printing.
That got into the first printing, so we're warning people.
And how many copies is that?
Probably about 10,000.
So there's 10,000 books. Yeah.
Got into the first printing.
Well, I can tell you, Phil, it was an intern that worked for me, who was helping me with some of the editing and copying. She has been fired. I want people to know that so that they can have confidence that, yes, they may buy the book, and they may see these repeated references to lube and these pictures. But the intern that was fired, interestingly enough, worked for, I believe worked for or was a volunteer for Nancy Pelosi's campaign. So,
well, look, I'm not interested in what political campaign.
Well, it's very significant, man. References to lube.
All right, hold on for a minute. I'm not interested in whether or not she worked for Nancy Pelosi. Repeated references to lube. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Wow, man.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back as well online here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Go to philhenryshow.com. Take a look at our live streaming video. And we are now into our second generation of Phil TV. Our video casts are now enhanced, multi-camera, special effects, and we've got even more. More to come here on the brand new Phil TV, part of our webcast and a part of our website at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. That's how you are a part of all of that. So the Academy Awards, huh? The much maligned Academy Awards. Every year we hear there's something wrong with the Academy Awards. Even when a guy hits it out of the park as the host, like so many times I thought Billy Crystal would hit it out of the park. Every year somebody complained. Oh, this joke, that joke, something else. Or they didn't like something that somebody said. They're always bitching about something when it comes to the Academy Awards. So they really teed it up for them on this one when they had James Franco and Anne Hathaway as the hosts. Now, I thought that they had every right in the world to have whoever they want to host it. And they got those two kids to do it. These are two good actors. They didn't want to have Ricky, and they didn't want to have Steve Martin, who was funnier than hell, and Gervais is funny. And they didn't want to go back to Billy Crystal, and they didn't want to go and have, who was the one that just stunk it out?
Whoopi.
Oh, yeah, Whoopi sucked. And who else sucked? Didn't they have Letterman do it one year? Oh, God, Letterman was horrifying. Ellen DeGeneres. I don't know what they want, though. You know, what do they call a good job? I don't think, when I say Letterman is horrifying, I shouldn't have said that, because I don't remember him doing such a bad job other than the fact that that one Una Oprah.
Yeah, that was a stupid joke.
All right, so it was a stupid joke, but Hugh Jackman one year, Jon Stewart did it one year, Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin did it last year. I don't think they should have teamed up Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin. They should have just had Steve Martin do it. But what are you going to do? So they tried something different this year. The TV audience declined 10% to 37.6 million. It was a drop from last year. The 3D film Avatar was setting box office records and sparking interest in the annual ceremony. So I guess you can imagine that that's going to happen. The audience for last night's Oscar telecast on Walt Disney Company's ABC went from 41.7 million last year to 37.6 million this year. The audience for the annual award show, typically the most watched U.S. program after the Super Bowl and the National Football League playoffs, waxes and wanes with the popularity of the films at the box office. Last year, Avatar, released in 2009, was one of the 10 films nominated for Best Picture. Remember they had 10 nominations?
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. How come? Did they do that this year?
I don't think they had 10, no. In 2010, U.S. box office sales fell slightly to $10 billion, bolstered by higher 3D ticket prices, while attendance slid 5%. Attendance in 2011 is already down 22%. In last night's show, hosted by actors Anne Hathaway and James Franco, The King's Speech was crowned Best Picture, and its leading man, Colin Firth, won the Oscar for Best Actor. And director Tom Hooper and writer David Seidler also captured statuettes for their work on the film. Which, by the way, I thought Firth and Seidler, those are the best speeches. I know you guys didn't like it.
I don't even know that movie. That was a very interesting movie.
That movie was a great movie. And I understand why people don't think it was interesting. And that's too bad for them. And when they said it was an edgy, you know, I heard people say, well, that wasn't an edgy movie to do. That was a very safe movie. No, it wasn't. Avatar, hello. Social Network, hello. The King's Speech? What makes that a safe movie? That's anything but. That's anything but a sure thing. The show, anyway, was it wasn't that good. Anyway, Social Network won awards for Best Score and Best Adapted Screenplay, while the mega hit Inception took home several technical awards for its mind-blowing special effects. But that was it, which we predicted. And
you said you didn't like that movie.
I thought I didn't like it. No, I didn't like it at all. The top honors for 2010 films went to pictures made with modest budgets that went on to produce considerable box office. The King's Speech was made for $15 million. It took in $237 million in global ticket sales. That's pretty damn good. Now, what do you think made that movie popular?
Because the guy stuttered.
Because the guy stuttered. I bet you what made that movie popular, though, was because of the stuttering.
Yeah. Yeah, but probably a lot of people can identify.
Probably a lot of people did identify with that, you know. And it was a heroic story, but there's a lot of heroic stories out there. But this was one about a guy with a stutter that went on to, you know, inspire people. All right, here is actor James Franco. You judge for yourselves. I mean, look at folks. What do you want? The guy's not a comic. Here is Franco and here is Anne Hathaway. They co-hosted last night's Academy Awards, and this morning they were panned by critics. Here's a clip from their opening monologue.
Hollywood's biggest night!
And it's very exciting for both of us because we're both nominated.
Actually, James, I'm not nominated tonight.
Oh, come on, Anne, don't be so modest.
I'm not modest, I'm just not nominated. You know,
all right.
It used to be, you get naked, you get nominated. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Okay. And then the Daily Beast's Tina Brown was not a fan of last night's Oscar broadcast. She pans the awards on MSNBC's Morning Joe. In other words, Tina Brown doing what she does best, stating the obvious.
Well, I mean, it was just, I think it was something to do with the little shiny-lipped, sort of radiant, you know, utterly devoid of any real humor.
Oh,
wow. Halfway. And then this kind of seized up, you know, completely,
whoa,
you know, the backstage bong had incapacitated his head, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. But they were addressing.
What'd she say? Bong hitting?
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, no, either bong hitting or she said ball.
No, don't say that. Okay, so thanks very much, Tina. That's the Academy Awards story. I thought we had another one, man. Oh, well, we had the King's Speech. I think I read that. It's the same clips. The King's Speech took in the big ones. Yeah, we already mentioned all that stuff. So great. Congratulations to the winners, whatever. And next year, nobody's going to remember, man. Who won? You know who won Best Picture the year before this past one? Who won Best Actor?
What?
Who won Best Actor?
Jeff Bridges. He's right.
Yes, you're right.
I know, because you said Jeff Bridges might not win it two in a row. The last guy to do is Spencer Tracy.
All right. Well, then who won Best Actress?
I don't know.
Aha. Well, anyway. Yeah, the last guy to win two in a row was Spencer Tracy. Meanwhile, back in the real world, Gaddafi clings to power amid growing support for protests. Embattled Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, a very bizarre man with a strange family. It's just a strange part of the world. We don't understand it, and we don't understand it. All we know is that the people there are much like us. They want to be able to do stuff that they want to do and go to jobs they want to go to and have a nice country, and everybody is reasonably well off, and maybe there's some poor people. We try to help them, and you know, when we can. They want to have like a normal country, not some place ruled by this freak.
You're looking at this guy wearing a sunglass, everything.
He's a weird ass. This is some kind of a, these guys with their ego trips, and they're all the same. They're all the same. They're all megalomaniacal. They all believe that they and only they are the saviors of their people. I mean, what's the difference between this cat and Hussein? And then, on top of everything else, the propaganda school that these guys graduate from, you'd swear to God it's the same one that they all go to. Are you embattled? No. Are there protests in the streets? Not at all. I don't know, where are you getting that idea? Like Ahmadinejad. Oh, did you think that, you know, did you see all the people that were out there? Oh, these are just hooligans, like after a soccer match. That's what this guy said. It was like when we invaded Iraq and they interviewed that propaganda guy. The American troops are near the capital. They're near Baghdad. They're nowhere near here. And you could look over his shoulder through the window at a tank taking aim on his ass.
Really?
Yes, really. Embattled Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi flatly denied Monday the existence of the protests threatening to end his 41-year rule as reports of fighting between government forces and rebels raged another day. In a joint interview with ABC News' Christian Amanpour and the BBC, Gaddafi also denied using force against his people. Excerpts of the interview were posted on the network's websites. There are no demonstrations at all in the streets, said Gaddafi. Here he is telling the BBC's Jeremy Brown, there haven't been any protests in Libya at all.
Some who've gone out onto the streets to protest say that your people have shot at them.
No demonstration at all in the streets.
Did you see demonstrations?
Yes, I have, yes.
Where?
I saw some today. I saw some in Zawiya. Yesterday I saw demonstrations.
Are they supporting us?
No, they're not supporting
us. They are
you.
Not against us.
Some were against you and some were for
no,
you.
No, no one against us. Against me for what? Because I am not president.
Because you're a slob and a swine. Because they want to drag you by your feet behind a jeep and hang you up in a gas station like they did Mussolini. Don't you understand?
Who's Mussolini?
He was the guy that ran Italy in World War II. They hung his ass from a gas station.
What?
They hung him upside down from a gas station.
What for?
Because the guy was a douchebag. That's what for. Oh, yeah, man. Look what they did to Saddam Hussein, man. They stretched his neck. They didn't give him any respect. Gaddafi tells ABC News, ABC News, why can't I read that? Christian Amanpour, that his people adore him.
They love me, all my people with me. They love me all.
But if they do love
me... They will die to protect me and my people.
If you say they do love you, then why are they capturing Benghazi and they say they're against you there? Why are they...
It is Gaida, not my people. It is Gaida.
Gaida,
yeah.
They
came from outside.
Wow. I mean, these guys, do they believe that crap? I don't know. But that's the school of propagandizing that they come from, which is just keep on saying the same horse dung and someone's going to buy it sooner or later. It happens in America. You see it happen all the time in this country. Just keep beating the same, your jaws about the same horse manure. And each side accuses the other of it, but each side is, you know, only here on radio for patriots, by patriots, will we tell you the truth. And Gaddafi, if he's lucky, will not wind up hanging from a gas station, I'm telling you.
Yeah, tell me about that sometime.
That's what they did to the guy, man. They killed him and his mistress, Mussolini, right?
Yeah.
And somehow, after they killed him, they shot him. They shot him in a, what they call a summary execution, okay? They said, Benito Mussolini, you're guilty of all these crimes. Pow! You're dead. Then they took him, and they hauled him up like he was a side of beef, swinging from, a rope at a gas station, a petrol station in the mountains in Italy. And the people came around. There were thousands, hundreds of them at least. And there were American soldiers there taking pictures. And there was old Benito and his mistress dangling and swinging away, man.
Man, I think I've seen a picture of that now.
Yeah. Oh, there's pictures of that everywhere. They say that that's what prompted Hitler to commit suicide. They say Hitler saw those pictures. He said, no way they're going to do that to me. I ain't going to let them do that to me. And they say that's what prompted Hitler to kill himself. So the Italian, nice going, Italians. We could have captured it. I'm kidding. All right, we'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Henry show for some closing thoughts. Low-flow toilets cause a stink in San Francisco. Are you sure it's the toilets? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And I just thought of something, man. I hope our Orban card made it, you know?
What?
the or band, man. I hope we got the limiter. Anyway, welcome back here. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And just a few more stories here as we conclude on this here Monday night. Low-flow toilets cause a stink in San Francisco as skimping on toilet water results in more sludge in sewer pipes. Well, of course. Of course. San Francisco's big push for low-flow toilets has turned into a multi-million dollar stink. Skimping on toilet water has resulted in more sludge backing up inside the sewer pipes, said Tyrone Jew, spokesman for the city public... What?
You said Jew.
That's his name, all right? J-U-E. For the... God.
What are you doing, man? Every time a guy says Jew?
Yeah, well, you got to be careful.
No, you don't have to be careful about saying it. J-U-E. Spokesman for the City Public Utilities Commission. That has created a rotten egg stench near AT&T Park and elsewhere, especially during the summer dry months. Oh, baby. The city's already spent $100 million over the past 5 years to upgrade its sewer system and sewage plants, in part to combat the odor problem. Now officials are stocking up on a $14 million three-year supply of highly concentrated sodium hypochlorite, better known as bleach, to act as an odor eater and to disinfect the city's treated water before it's dumped into the bay. It will also be used to sanitize drinking water. Now, that translates into 8.5 million pounds of bleach either being poured down the city drains or into the drinking water supply every year, and not everybody thinks it's a good idea. So isn't it funny how this is what, when we talk about getting bum-rushed into all of these marvelous solutions for all of these terrible things, and I'm telling you, we get, like, just beat over the head. Oh, no, you got to do that. You better don't use it. Low flow, low flush. Low, you got to. Come on. Hurry. And so we get all, you know, hey, okay, I got my low flow toilets and I got my low flush toilet and I got my, low flow shower head. And I got, yeah. Now all of a sudden, man, you got crap backed up in the San Francisco pipeline, baby, like mud.
Oh, man.
That's right. And guess what? Some poor bastard, some poor city worker, has got to go down there and unplug it.
Probably like Ed Norton.
Yeah, Ed Norton. What do you mean, Ed Norton?
He worked in New York anyway.
Ed Norton. Just think of that, man. Ed Norton's the guy that had to go down there and do that. Oh, God. Don't bleach. Oh, look at this. Don't bleach our bay. Well, you guys are coming up against the folks that said, low flush your toilet. Because we have a damn drought. This is California stuff, folks. Believe me when I tell you that for many of you, when you hear news out of California and you shake your heads, I know exactly what you're thinking. And I'm from here. Now, I ain't saying anything about San Francisco being a weird town. That's got nothing to do with that. Because this is a problem that comes up really all across the country when we get hurried into these solutions for the environmental benefit of mankind. And we, get our solution, which is a low-flush toilet. And now the whole town stinks to high heaven. So they rush to clean that up, and now they're bleaching the bay. What you got to learn how to do is live with the stink, man.
Oh, dude, you can't. Why should I do that just because I want to have environmental and everything?
You know what? I moved into a house. I think I told you guys this story. I had a home, and there were two or three homes below my home. And they were on, it's a very uneven neighborhood. I lived on a hill, and then you had to go down a hill to these two or three homes. And then my home was actually the highest one, and then all the way down the street, the homes descended in elevation. Well, what we had was a sewer pumping system that pumped sewage up from the homes on the lower part of this hill up to a point right next to my house, man, right where the streets intersected. My house is on that corner.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this sewage got pumped up and would stall sometimes halfway up the hill. And baby, when the wind was up and the wind was right,
yeah, just like a nice rotten egg, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. On a nice dry, still air summer morning, the stink would knock you out, man. It would knock a buzzard right off the back of a garbage wagon. And they had to go down there, and they had to fix this pump so that it started. It's pumping this stuff up the hill, then it's got to pump it down the hill. So, you know, sewers and you don't want to dump that crap in the bay, that's for sure. But you sure as hell, you better, you know, you're going to have to get used to the solution, man. The solution is this, you know. You can clean it up, all right, but you ain't dumping any bleach in the bay. You just have to live with the stink. And that's what we say here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's what we say on this show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do is just live with the stink. Oh, sure, it could be the stink of a bad sewage system. It could be the stink of a bad political decision. It could be the stink of a president, a vice president, or a Congress. Sometimes you just have to take a deep breath. Until tomorrow, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. No, forget it. Don't hold your breath.
Phil Henry.